AgBio Science is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
There's a ChatGPT moment for humanity, and that GPT moment is converging with every possible human activity.
Welcome to AgBio Science, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to AgBioScience. There is an emerging field of innovation happening in animal health and health in general called microbiome. Today, we're going to dig into a really interesting story of an Indiana company transforming animal health through microbiome. Welcome back, BioMedit CEO Aaron Schott and Dr. Eric Bonobo, CTO of BioMedit. Gentlemen, it is great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Great to be here.
Aaron, I want to start with you. We talk about microbiome as it relates to animal health, but it's probably important we start there. What is microbiome and what's its application to animal health?
I like to talk about the microbiome in a personal context. So sitting in the space that you occupy, Mitch, are a bunch of cells. Less than half of them contain your DNA. More than half are single cell microorganisms that make up your microbiome. In the animal health context, we focus on the microorganisms in the gut of the animal and how that relates to the animal's ability to take food and produce protein in the case of livestock, or how it relates to the health state of the animal in the case of cats and dogs. Very analogous to how we think about a healthy microbiome as a healthy human. It's because there's so many of those cells and the critical function that they play as part of your being that we want to understand that and then exploit that understanding to come up with health solutions.
As you think about that, as it relates to microbiome and you relate it to human health, I mean, is this where we're seeing innovations in food for humans, where we're seeing things like probiotics and antibiotics? Or give me an idea of some analogous to something that people may understand that are not animal health experts.
Ultimately, it's a collection of microorganisms that play a certain role within your metabolism and critical metabolic function. And so when we hear a word like a probiotic, what that means is that is an organism that promotes a healthy state. It has a positive function. For when we hear something like a pathogen, that's an organism that promotes an unhealthy state. So in the case of something we might call a pathogen, that's something that has a negative effect on the host. And so an antibiotic is something that we deliver to defeat a pathogen. A probiotic actually is something that might have the ability to undermine that pathogen's negative effects on the human. A word like a prebiotic is something that feeds the probiotic to play its role. And then there's even a term like postbiotic. That's just a dead organism that probably has leftover beneficial effects. So these are all words that get thrown around as product categories, but they all relate to trying to curate the activity or the composition of the microbiome so that you display a certain function. And in most cases, it's a healthy function.
And Eric, this is an area that has been new to you as you dig into animal health. I love this. Arizona State. I found this online. Eric, this is amazing. Arizona State called you one of the world's leading experts in complex systems and adaptive problem solving. You've led predictive analytics tech companies, inspired biology, never in animal health. As you walk through that world that Aaron just did, why choose BioMedit? Why choose animal health? Why is this the area that you are going to pioneer the next chapter?
I'm glad that ASU says that about me. So the main reason why I joined BioMedit is Aaron Schacht. You know, I met Aaron about more than 20 years ago when he was at Eli Lilly. And since then, we've done dozens of projects together at Eli Lilly. We even collaborated on a joint venture with Eli Lilly almost 20 years ago now. Despite having worked so much together, we still get along. I think it's my great sense of humor. And so, you know, we always said, okay, well, let's do something together. Let's start a company together. And so when the opportunity arose, I said, okay, well, I have this opportunity to create a spin-off out of Elanco focused on the microbiome. And I said, well, I asked the same question that you did, like, well, what is the microbiome? So that was like 3 years ago. And, you know, it turns out that my background is in machine learning, analytics, complex systems, as you said. And the microbiome, microbial ecosystems are fantastic complex systems. You have all these organisms interacting in so many different ways. And the emerging properties of these microbial ecosystems are what makes the difference between healthy and disease states, right? So understanding these emergent properties is really key to being able to work with the microbiome. I thought, wow, this is really cool and interesting. And plus there is Aaron Schacht. And then the fact that it's animal health, yes, it happens to be animal health and I love animals. In fact, you know, part of my background has been studying collective behavior in animals. So that, you know, complex systems of animals, animal colonies and groups and societies. So it's a no-brainer. Let's do this. And plus, I think that AI and machine learning have a big role to play.
I'm so glad you brought up AI, Eric. Artificial intelligence, it is literally everywhere. I mean, you can't pick up a newspaper, turn on the news, and not talk about artificial intelligence. As you look at these converging forces, you look at what are you seeing in artificial intelligence and how that's becoming commercialized to what's happening in the microbiome. What are you seeing? I mean, you're 2 years, 3 years into this journey with Aaron Schacht. What have you found? What are you inspired by? What have you been surprised by?
I've been surprised by, like everyone else, I think ChatGPT, you know, a little more than a year ago, there's a ChatGPT moment for humanity. And that GPT moment is converging with every possible human activity. So, of course, we're impacted by it in many ways. But I think specifically in the space that we're in, the microbiome, there are two things that kind of popped up as really critical that could be addressed with AI. One is maybe a more traditional form of AI where you're using neural networks, for example, to predict, to classify, to be able to detect patterns. And so here we are applying this kind of AI to, okay, well, we have a microbial ecosystem. We have omics data, so, you know, metagenomics and metaproteomics and transcriptomics. How can we infer what is going on in that ecosystem? It's a very complex ecosystem, you know, billions of organisms. What is happening there? And we want to do something called QSAR. In chemistry, there is this concept of QSAR, quantitative structure activity relationship, which is basically, here's the structure of a molecule. What are its physiological properties? We would like to do the same for not a molecule, but for an entire microbial ecosystem. Here is the composition of that microbial ecosystem. What does it do? What is its function as an ecosystem? So that's one area of application, very exciting, because the emergence of, well, it's not the emergence, it's the continuing growth of data and quality data in our field means that we can do more and more. And then these tools, these AI tools are also improving at the same time. So it's very exciting. New things will be discovered and have been discovered using this. But the other area is, okay, well, you understand maybe to some extent this ecosystem. You understand how its emergent properties are coming about, what the function of the ecosystem might be. Now, of course, you'd like to nudge it to a place where, you know, it promotes health and gut integrity or move from a disease state to a healthy state. So the question then becomes, well, how do you intervene? And once you have identified an intervention, you have to design it. And that's where the new form of AI that, you know, of which ChatGPT is an example, which is called generative AI, Gen AI. Gen AI generates things. And you've probably experienced it. Gen AI can generate a picture of a cow, or can generate a sentence or a text or an essay. And you've seen that, you know, sometimes it does a good job, sometimes it doesn't do a good job because it's a probabilistic system. It's offering possibilities. And I think that's wonderful for us is that it's an innovation engine and we have the expertise to decide and to determine whether what it's offering makes sense or not. And in this case, we're trying to design, generate peptides and proteins and molecules. And we're saying, okay, well, instead of draw me a picture of a cow in the style of John Miro, it will be, well, design a peptide with 35 amino acids that has these properties. It has to bind to this target. It has to be able to be stable and so on and so forth. And so the AI will take this and will generate possibilities. And of course, you know, it's a lot harder to generate a peptide than a picture of a cow. Then we have to do some more work to say, okay, well, does this peptide make sense and everything? But quality of the tools and the fact that they're open source, which I think is a unique thing in history, the most powerful tools
available to mankind are to a large extent open source, and especially in the protein design space. You know, AlphaFold 3 years ago came out that really made a huge improvement in our ability to predict the way that proteins fold, open source. And so we are constantly at the forefront of this in the sense that we monitor the horizon and say, okay, well, who is doing the best work? They're open sourcing their tools. Let's use them and apply them to our problem. And the combination of these powerful tools with our expertise in microbiome and structural biology and double-link modeling means that we feel like we have incredibly powerful tools to solve microbiome-related problems.
It is an incredible era, Eric. It's an incredible time to be in animal health. We're going to dig into what's ahead for BioMedit and what's ahead for this connection between human health and animal health. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Being your own boss is a different kind of job. You have to work harder, smarter, and you can't afford to let your health slow you down. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau is there with more affordable plans for members who need to stay on top of their health so they can stay on top of their business, whether it's a farm or any other kind of company, concern, or enterprise. To learn more about medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans sponsored by Indiana Farm Bureau, visit infbhealthplans.com.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Aaron Schott, CEO of BioMedit, and Dr. Eric Bonobo, CTO of BioMedit. Aaron, I want to come to you. Last time you and I chatted, you had just finished a $40 million Series A. Since then, we've talked about Nutreco and your partnership there. You've made some big moves on this connection between human health and animal health with the IBRI in Indiana, the Gates Foundation, you've made news with them. You've launched a partnership with Athia and the carbon insetting company. Lots of things happening. Give us a feel. What is the pulse right now of BioMedit? What's the pulse of you? What are you excited about?
So what we're excited about in particular, of course, we announced a deal with Nutreco, an important partner for the future to help further develop and commercialize our first wave of products in the feed additive space. Very excited about the progress we've made there. Probably more recently here, I think the things that excite us most is the Gates Foundation grant and their support for our methane emission reduction program. And that's important to BioMedit in two ways. One is it's non-dilutive cash. So for any small company that can get a grant, that's really important. Secondly, what Gates really influences us around is thinking about how to develop this technology so we can make it available in places like sub-Saharan Africa or Southern Asia for smallholder farmers. Feeding a cow in that environment is very different than a feedlot in Texas. You know, in particular, in Texas, it's a large livestock production system. You're feeding lots of cows at the same time. In sub-Saharan Africa, maybe a smallholder with a couple of cows, and those cows graze. They don't just sit in a feedlot and eat. So the way in which you administer a product, the sort of duration of its activity, that all has to be taken into account to fit those different environments. And we're excited about the cool challenge that is.
And Eric, the connection here with Gates Foundation, also just a massive brand validator, not just for the applications that Aaron talked about, but brand validator for this AI toolkit, this next chapter of innovation that you talked about earlier.
The people from the Gates Foundation, the innovation potential in our approach, I think that we're offering something that is kind of unique, you know, targeting the microbiome of the rumen, number one, but also the way that we're approaching it. Definitely a different approach. So we say, okay, well, we don't know what's going to work. There is no certainty here. And people have been trying to, you know, reduce methane, enteric methane emissions for a long time now. So the way we're approaching it is say, well, okay, let's consider the rumen as a complex ecosystem, which like is perfect for me. I love it. And then we have these AI tools and modeling tools, right? We want to model the metabolic activity of a rumen degrading fiber, because this is what leads to down the chain to the production of methane that is then emitted by the burping cow. So we need to understand that complex metabolic system. And then once we understand that, and so we have a lot of data and we're collecting more data from, as Aaron mentioned, from all kinds of places in the world, not just the US, but from India, from Africa, from South America. And we're going to analyze the data and infer what is going on in these different cows in different locations and try to understand what's the difference between a low methane emitting cow and a high methane emitting cow. So we're using AI to infer this. We are then going to say, okay, now we think we understand
how it's working, what are the leverage points? What are the points in that ecosystem where if we intervene, either by inhibiting reactions or by preventing certain organisms from thriving and growing, once we know that if we do that, you know, we have a chance of reducing methane emission, how do we do it? And that's where we are offering a number of possible ways of doing that. And we're going to explore all of them because we don't know ahead of time what's going to work. One is probiotic consortia. So we're looking at, can we intervene in that system by feeding probiotics? Now, this is not going to work for smallholder farms because, you know, you need to feed the cow with risk probiotics. So the next stage is, okay, well, is there a way to intervene with molecules, enzymes, antimicrobial peptides, antibodies? And so that's another thing that we're looking at, and we're using this protein and peptide in design AI to try to come up with that. And then finally, you know, if we want a sustained action in the cow so that you give that intervention to the cow once, or maybe, you know, once in a while, and it works for a long time, because this is what would work in other situations where the cows are grazing or it's a smallholder farm, then we're looking at selecting a chassis. So it would be a microorganism that already exists in the rumen that is very robust, that you see in most rumens in the world. We would use that as a vehicle, engineer it, so change its DNA, right, to deliver an antimicrobial peptide or a nanobody or an antibody in the rumen that would inhibit the growth of these methanogenic populations. So these are the different threads that we are pursuing. And I think the Gates Foundation said, okay, this is very exciting. It's different. It's innovative. And we're really grateful that they saw that. And it accelerates our program. It gave us a big boost and also confidence that, okay, we're onto something and people are very excited. The scientists are just like ecstatic about it.
That excitement, that exhilaration, Aaron, Eric, I feel I see it in you and Aaron both. I mean, this, we're at the starting line, right, of a sprint, and the finish line is well within reach. Aaron, I want to come to you for the last question. We look at all the attention that's been paid to human health of late, and we've seen a massive focus on nutrition, specifically weight loss as it relates to nutrition. Lilly's had a blockbuster with GLP drugs like Mounjaro. When you look at this application, we've talked about animal health here a lot, but when we look at this application of microbiome innovation, does it hold similar opportunity to what we're seeing transformative with drugs like GLP?
First of all, to look at the GLP revolution, so to speak, wouldn't recognize that this is all about influencing how a human eats and then uses the food that they eat and regulating a metabolism in a certain way that produces a more healthy effect. The microbiome is no doubt playing a role there. The secrets of that have not really been sort of explored or fully unlocked. But we also know that, for example, the microbiome of an obese person is very different than the microbiome of a not obese person. And so there's some role it intends to play. So we're targeting that very same phenomenon, but we're looking at it in cats and trying to understand, use the cat as a model for humans. But also, I think one of the missed opportunities for animal health is to take advantage of studying things in animals and translating that to humans. So we're looking at a real challenge in cats, obesity leading to diabetes, leading to kidney disease, leading to mortality, and seeing how our tools and approaches might intervene and come up with a novel product. And I would bet you that what we learn will translate and apply in human medicine.
It is incredible. Aaron Schott, CEO of Biomedit, Dr. Eric Bonobo, CTO of Biomedit. Gentlemen, thank you so much for investing the time to share your story on Ag Bioscience.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
And thank you for tuning in to Ag Bioscience. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.